Talk to me like I'm real. Written and read by Tiny Pink Mouse. Chapter 1. He's not surprised that Gerga's human doesn't like him. If he was feeling charitable, Yitzhun would admit that he had carried grudges for far less than what he had done to the human. Yitzhun has never felt particularly charitable in his life. Gerga insists on Yitzhun living with them, and really, it's not like the human can come up with any better plan. Dixing doesn't want him, and Haixing is... Well, it's the human that declares that they can't just let Yitzhun out to do whatever he wants in Haixing either. Yitzhun smirks at the human when he says that, projecting all the smugness he can. Yitzhun doesn't acknowledge the flare of relief, and if he does, it's only there because he doesn't want to be away from Gerga. Not because being out there on his own in an unfamiliar world might make him nervous. That's pretty much how all of their interactions go. The human says something and Yitzhun just projects as much superiority and smugness his way as he can. Yitzhun grabs as much of Gerga's attention as he can, sometimes quite literally, hanging on to Gerga and smirking at the human because Gerga would never push him away. Not now. If Yitzhun sometimes watches Gerga and the human and feels jealous, well, it's only because he has lost so much of the time he could have spent with Gerga, and he doesn't want to lose a second more. They never talk directly to each other, the human and him. Mostly, the human tries to ignore him. Yitzhun makes sure he can't. But they never talk. Even when the human gets annoyed at him, he never actually says as much to Yitzhun. He glares at Yitzhun and acts like he expects Yitzhun to stab him in his sleep or something. Really, the human should know better. Even Yitzhun can tell that Gerga wouldn't forgive him for hurting the human, not a second time. The knowledge of that grates on Yitzhun, like a grain of sand stuck in his boot that he just has to endure. So, it doesn't really make sense when the human will go buy those ridiculous lollipops of his and leave a bag of Yitzhun's favorite candy on the table without a word. It's not like Yitzhun had even tried candy until recently, and how the human even knew that these were the ones he liked best. Yitzhun tries not to think about it, but once he notices, there are other small things that the human does, that Yitzhun thinks might be for his benefit. He's not going to ask Gerga, and he certainly isn't asking the human. Gerga is getting a bit annoyed at both of them as it is. Yitzhun suspects that bringing any of this up with Gerga might just concentrate that annoyance on Yitzhun. Yitzhun wraps his hands around his knees and pulls them close to himself. It's fine, he tells himself over and over. You're here. You're real. There's a sob. Distantly, he realizes that noise was wrenched out of his throat, but somehow it doesn't quite feel like it comes from him. He concentrates on the feeling of his jeans against his palms. The fabric is different from anything he remembers from before. This is real. His dark energy flows out of him, looking for anyone, anything to latch onto. There's no one there. They're gone. They left you. Again. Not even the human or the cat are anywhere to be found. The dark energy rebounds into Yitzhun, and that at least feels like something real. For so long that was all he was. Not real, not real, not real. His power wraps around himself and he tries to contain himself, tries to be. He is himself, and if the rest of the world isn't real, he still is. He is. It will be. It is. He can feel all the different powers still inside him, and those people were real ones, weren't they? They must have been. Yitzhun? The name he gave himself. The name they mocked him for until he made them take it seriously. But that was before. Yitzhun. It's more insistent now, and he realizes slowly that the voice is coming from outside of him. His dark energy snakes out cautiously, tendrils reaching out beyond himself. He doesn't need to reach far at all. The human is right there, with all his bright energy. He yearns to take all of it, to make it part of himself, prove that it is real. His dark energy coils around the human, and he hears the startled noise the human makes. Yetsun opens his eyes, he has eyes to open, and looks at the human. Tendrils of dark energy are wrapped around his legs, and he's staring at Yetsun. He doesn't look afraid exactly. He should, Yetsun came so close to... What's wrong? The human asks him, like he isn't even worried about the dark energy holding him in place. Something prickles at Yetsun's eyes. Tears. Those are tears. You have eyes to cry with now. It's been months and the human hasn't talked to him once, and suddenly, just like that, he's saying things to Yetsun. Like Yetsun is real, like he's there and part of Jianlan's life. Okay, not up to talking. Sure, that's fine. No pressure. You just kind of have to let me know what to do here. The dark energy is sneaking up the length of Jianlan's body, wrapping around his waist now too. Yetsun tugs at him, and Jianlan stumbles for a moment before he realizes that he can move his legs despite the dark energy wrapped around them. It takes a moment or two, and then with a little, oh, of realization, Jianlan is sitting down on the bed, reaching out to cover one of Yetsun's hands with one of his own. He's quick like that, at least. Jianlan touches him carefully, like he expects Yetsun to lash out at him. For a moment, Yetsun isn't sure that he won't. But Jianlan's hand is touching his hand and it feels like electricity running through him. His skin prickles at the contact. This is his body that's reacting. This is him. Yetsun turns his hand around, slotting their fingers together. He stares at Jianlan like he can't look away. His dark energy is still wrapped around Jianlan. He's not alone. This is real. Jianlan yawns and then looks a bit sheepish. Look, I'm not sure what's wrong, and if this is helping, then that's great. But I'm also about to fall asleep at any moment. No, Yetsun thinks frantically, his grip tightening on Jianlan's hand, the dark energy coiling around him tightening. Don't leave me alone. Not again. Hey, Jianlan says, not ungently. I can sleep here. Just move over a bit and please just stop crushing my hand. Yetsun stares at him, the babble of words making no sense at first. Then he loosens his grip a bit. He isn't trying to hurt Jianlan. Not this time. Slowly, carefully, Yetsun lets go of his knees, but not of Jianlan's hand, moving himself to the other side of the bed. The bed isn't small, but it's not designed for two people either. He pulls at Jianlan's hand until, with a little sigh, Jianlan actually lies down on the bed next to him. The position is awkward now, with Yetsun still sitting up, holding on to Jianlan's hand. He slides down slowly. Yetsun's body feels clumsy, like he's forgotten how to use it. If you kill me in my sleep, I'll be really annoyed, Jianlan says, with another yawn. He doesn't say anything else, and it takes some time before he actually falls asleep. Yetsun wraps a bit more of his dark energy around all of that light energy, reminding himself that there's someone else here with him, that he isn't alone. He stays like that until Gogo finds them. Gogo doesn't say anything, but Yetsun can read the apology on his face. Quietly, Gogo climbs into bed behind Yetsun, and Yetsun has to move closer to Jianlan. Gogo wraps himself around Yetsun as tight as he can. I don't mind you're human, you know, Yitzhun says eventually, and his voice feels raspy and unused. He can feel Gurgur smile against his shoulder. Chapter 2. Jiaoyinlan is making coffee, one of the few things Gurgur will allow him to use the kitchen for. Yitzhun walks up to him and presses himself along Jiaoyinlan's back, wrapping his arms around his waist and licking along the length of his neck. It's right there in front of Yitzhun, after all. Jiaoyinlan stiffens in his arm. "This is new," he says, his voice held tight enough that Yitzhun isn't quite sure what he might be feeling. "Gurgur won't mind," he whispers against Jiaoyinlan's ear. Jiaoyinlan is still unmoving, his muscles held tight. "Maybe I do." Yitzhun bites at his earlobe lightly before answering. "I look just like Gurgur. I feel just like Gurgur. Why would you mind?" "Where's this coming from? 3 days ago you wouldn't even have talked to me, and now..." Yitzhun lets go of him and whirls around. "Wait," Jiaoyinlan says quickly, grabbing for his arm. Yitzhun thinks about shaking him off and just walking out of the kitchen, since his attention isn't wanted. "You're ridiculously difficult to deal with, you know that?" Jiaoyinlan asks, and Yitzhun smirks at him. "Stay there. I'm calling Shen Wei." Yitzhun doesn't approve of being ordered around, but he's curious to hear what Jiaoyinlan will say to Gurgur. Yitzhun really doesn't expect it to be, "I think your Didi wants to fuck me." Yitzhun laughs. He can imagine Gurgur's reaction to that. "I'll definitely wait," Jiaoyinlan says into his phone, before ending the call. He smiles lazily at Yitzhun. "Shen Wei should be here." A portal appears, spitting out Gurgur into the kitchen. Gurgur looks worried. "I just want to know what all the fuss is about with your human," Yitzhun says, smiling innocently. "You don't mind, do you, Gurgur?" The way Gurgur looks from him to Jiaoyinlan is so obvious that Yitzhun wants to laugh. Gurgur blushes and looks away. Gurgur clears his throat. "Didi, if Jiaoyinlan doesn't want..." Jiaoyinlan holds up a hand. "Wait a minute," he says, and then looks at Gurgur like he might finally have caught a clue. Really, Yitzhun thinks, Jiaoyinlan is usually far better at figuring people out than this. "You want to... Why haven't we talked about this?" Jiaoyinlan laments, throwing his head back and looking up at the ceiling, like that might offer him some answers. Gurgur ducks his head, swallowing, and Yitzhun can see the guilt radiating off him. He looks at Jiaoyinlan with a raised eyebrow. If there's one thing they do agree on, it's that Gurgur should really stop feeling guilty over everything. Jiaoyinlan lifts his own eyebrow in return and tilts his head at Gurgur. They both step up to Gurgur, wrapping their arms around him. This is not exactly what Yitzhun had had in mind when he'd approached Jiaoyinlan, but if he finally gets to touch Gurgur the way he wants to, he's entirely fine with this. Yitzhun looks at Jiaoyinlan as he takes Gurgur by the chin and turns his head toward Yitzhun. He kisses Gurgur, with, he might admit to himself, more enthusiasm than practice. It takes a moment for Gurgur to realize what's happening, and he makes a muffled noise against Yitzhun's lips before he starts kissing back. Yitzhun lets himself follow Gurgur's lead, since in this at least, he knows Gurgur has had a lot more practice by now. It's been too long, Yitzhun thinks, since he tasted Gurgur's mouth. He pulls away, Gurgur leaning in slightly, like he doesn't want to stop any more than Yitzhun does. Yitzhun looks at Jiaoyinlan, who's still holding on to Gurgur, still just a breath away. His eyes are blown wide, hazy with lust, and Yitzhun smirks at him. He's not quite prepared for Dryland to grab hold of him and plant his lips against the Itzun's. He tastes different than Gurgur, lighter and more human. Yetsun is faintly grateful that he kissed Gurgur first, and at least knows what to do with his mouth now. Jaunlan is breathing heavily once the kiss is over. Yetsun runs a thumb over his own still tingling lips, and Jaunlan rests his forehead on Gurgur's shoulder. Okay. But we still need to talk about this. The end.